It's 88.5 KCSN. I'm Sky Daniels, and we are joined today by Michael Franti. Welcome.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having us in, Sky.
Not only a musician, a man of the people, but not just a man of the people, the man of all people, as you get ready to roll out the record
title
of that name.
Of the record. I wouldn't go that far to say I'm the man of all people, but my album is called that.
So for that reason alone, we are declaring you the man of all people today.
That's a big honor.
I don't know if it's an official declaration, but at least amongst us, it'll work.
Thank you very much.
But in seriousness, you have always, as far back as I've been engaged in your music, there was a clear sense of purpose.
Yeah.
And why
you
were performing.
Yeah. I've always wanted to be, I set a goal for myself at one point in music. I said, I want to be the best musical communicator of social justice that I can be, you know? And so that meant like every phase of it, I wanted to improve it. I want to become a better songwriter, a better guitar player, better singer, make sure that everything in our business runs so that we can keep doing it year after year after year. And then finally, the most important thing is to go to the places that I talked about. So
Right. Instead
of just like listening to the 24-hour news cycle and talking about the war in Iraq, I wanted to go there. And I did in 2004, went and played music on the streets in Iraq and Israel and Palestine, Gaza, the favelas of Brazil, Indonesia. Every place I go in the world, I go and I play music there and then meet people and talk to them about their life and experiences and that all enters into my musical.
So you
vocabulary.
Get that firsthand perspective so that you can trust your own sense of what is happening as opposed to some of the filters where you're never really sure how it's being fed to you.
That's it. You know, there's like, the 50 shades of gray. You travel around the world, you realize there's 6 billion shades of gray, you know, and everybody has a different perspective on things. And, you know, when I went to Iraq, I expected people there to like want to hear songs protesting the war and speaking out against the war, but they didn't. Iraqi civilians were like, we don't want to hear about the war. We want you to make us laugh and dance and sing and forget about this experience and cry and like remember why we're here, you know. And that's kind of the way my music has like grown over the years. It's like, it's not so important to me to write songs about the 24-hour news cycle as it is to write songs about the cycle of, you know, life. And
well, and that's a great segue into a question I had for you, because as you talked about improving and maturing and growing as an artist, for you, there's a clear question of balance and polemic with feeling.
Yeah.
And of late, I've been hearing your songs express joy and, you know, exuberance of life.
Mm-hmm.
And balancing, I guess, out, you know, an overt cause with the cause is love each other.
Yeah.
And it really has been coming through. I imagine parts at least, are somewhat of a conscious decision on your part.
Well, some of it's conscious and some of it's just like, when I get together with my bandmates, we want to have fun. So we pick up our guitars and we rock out, and that's what ends up coming out. And then the other part of it is that, you know, I want my music to be something that goes beyond just the year in which it was written, you know. And my favorite artists who have done that, whose music lasts, at least in my life, are artists like Bob Marley, John Lennon, Johnny Cash, Marvin Gaye.
I have to throw Bill Withers out.
Yeah, Bill Withers.
Gotta be
Bill Withers. You know, artists that were able to write songs about how much they loved their girlfriend and put it right next to a song about how much they cared about the world. And I found that those artists that were able to do that, I really believed it more. Like when you hear John Lennon sing Beautiful Boy, and then he sings Imagine, and you go, wow, there's a reason why he cares about the world, because he loves his kid and he loves being a dad, you know. And that's what I want. I want those songs that are my, you know, heavier political songs to be balanced by, you know, the reason why I care about the planet.
Well, you mentioned your band today. We have with us
the great J Boogie Bowman.
Who's going to join us? And you talked about how much fun you have when you play music together. Why don't we hear a song?
Yeah, let's do it.
And let's hear you guys have some fun with the listeners at KCSN. It's
cool.
Michael Franti.
Oh, this is the first single off our new record, I'm Alive. And it goes,
I'm but all I wanna do is be with you. They'll tell me that there's something strange, I don't wanna meet nobody new, but all I wanna do is be with you. Life sounds like I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive. Whoa, I'm alive. Bring it down now. How come every day something jumps in the way, gets complicated? I feel devastated, but when I'm feeling down, I only wanna be with you. I can't afford the rent or remember checks I sent to pay off all my taxes and feed the president, but there's one thing I remember, I only wanna be with you. Life sounds like I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive. Whoa, I'm alive. Life sounds like I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive. Whoa, I'm alive. Break it down right here now. I'll be your Clyde. Hop into my car and drive like fireworks. We will ignite through this San Francisco night. Like John and Yoko, like Ice-T and Coco, like Jay-Z, Beyonce, come be my fiance. Hey soul sister, I'll be your mister. I don't wanna be no one not stand. How many ways can I say to help you understand that I only wanna be your man? Life sounds like you. But all I wanna do is be with you. Life sounds like whoa, whoa. Life sounds like I'm alive, I'm alive. I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive. Whoa, I'm alive. Life sounds like I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive. Whoa, I'm alive. Break it down now. Everybody wants me to be who they want me to be except you. But all I wanna do is be with you.
It's 88.5 KCSN. We've got billboards up around town, finally. Get out there and market ourselves to the world. And on the billboard, we have Celebrate Music. And nice. Certainly we are doing that today with Michael Frante live. That's in awesome. Session. The joy, I have the benefit of sitting here and watching these two gentlemen just throw yourselves into this song with such passion. It's great to see. It's
Thank
infectious.
You,
I do. I am alive now. I feel alive.
Good.
I feel alive.
That's what we do. That's what we do every day. You know, we just got out of an interview with Rick Dees.
Yes.
And
legendary Rick
legendary
Dees.
Rick Dees. And it was a trip to be there with him and to hear all the stories. And he's been doing it forever, and he was showing us like the Disco Duck album on the wall, which I had to get a picture with him.
Which, by the way, was a number one single.
Six million.
It kept some. I'm trying to remember. We had a major artist in here who I can't remember.
He got bumped off the number one spot.
Who couldn't get number one with like one of the greatest songs. I think it might have been like a John Fogerty who couldn't get the number one because Disco Duck kept him out of number one.
That's awesome. So we hung with him, and the thing is, he's as passionate about what he does as ever, you know, and we were talking about other artists, you know, the Stones, who same thing, they approach it with the same passion that they did when they were 22, you know, and that's how I feel when I'm hanging with the guys in my band, with Jay, as we go around, you know, we'll go and we'll play a show for 2 hours. we'll pick up our acoustic guitars and go on the bus. And as we drive through the night, we'll stay up and, you know, drink beer, and guys will be smoking weed and singing songs till 3 a.m. on the tour bus. And that's what we love to do.
So it is a true celebration. Yeah. You mentioned Spearhead, and it's always been a band that I don't know, maybe intricate's not the right word, but the band has certainly melded.
Yeah.
A lot, jazz,
yes,
folk, reggae, rock, funk. So clearly players in Spearhead have to be adroit and ready, yeah, to assimilate a lot,
yeah,
of styles.
And also be like open-hearted and open-minded, you know, to just try something new. And luckily the guys that I've been working with for all the years that we have, they have that expectation, you know, like I'll just show up at soundcheck and say, okay, we're doing a mariachi version of, you know, Run DMC doing Walk This Way with Aerosmith, you know, and that's what we're doing today, you know. And so, and they come to, you know, appreciate that, you know, the beauty of diversity of music, you know.
Well, and the other, I guess the other point that has to be, when you talked about open-minded and open-hearted, there's that sense of being the open channel of the spirit of music, yeah, and everyone letting that flow and not being inhibited themselves.
Yeah.
And also I've seen Spearhead shows, and the crowd, you know, it starts, yeah, to meld as one.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming the right crowd can take you guys to places you had no idea you were going to go.
Totally. You know, and that's our first thing, is to get the crowd involved. So a lot of times before the show, Jay and I will go out with our guitars. When people are waiting in line early, we'll go out there and play some tunes and just set the tone. When people come in, we talk to them. We're not like people who just hang out backstage. And even after the show, I always walk off the front of the stage and talk to the audience and get to know people. And it's been great with email and Twitter and you know, Facebook and social media and Instagram. I'm all over those things. And when I first started in music, you know, we were on Alternative Tentacles, the Dead Kennedys record label, and we'd get this stack of, like, you know, dozens of letters that would come in, you know, every month, and we could answer, like, you know, a dozen a year, you know, out of 100 email letters that came in. And then with email, we'd get like thousands of emails, and you could answer like maybe 100 a year. And then now with Facebook and Twitter, it's like I'm having a conversation with 300,000 people all at once, you know, and it goes on, you know, 24 hours a day. And I really love that aspect, because it's the way that I've always approached and had the relationship with my, you know, with my audience.
Now, you've taken it, though, on your website, something that I've seen that you talk about, you know, artists talk about, well, I want to engage and let them behind the curtain. But Fronte Fridays,
yeah,
is you just saying, hey, real life me.
Yeah.
Talk to our audience about where that came from and why you do it. Because, well, it's a great thing.
Thank you. For the last 3-4 years, we've had this thing called Front TV, but people never knew when it would come on. So we just decided to do, they're little webisodes, basically. So what we decided to do is just do it one every week. So we have Fronte Friday. So now every Friday, people can, you know, either get on our email list or just go to our website, Twitter, whatever, and get each week's webisode. So one day it might be like me in the kitchen making, you know, smoothies or something. The next day it's us performing at a school. The next week it's, you know, us talking to some interesting person on the street or at a festival and talking to fans at the festival. So it really is like a glimpse in. And I mean, I love that. I'm kind of a Facebook, you know, stalker. I love to see like photos of like Lady Gaga at 3 a.m. with a pizza box on her bed, and she's going, look at me, this selfie that she took, you know. I think that's really cool. I think it's a lot cooler than most artists' music is at times. And so I love that part of social media.
Well, and it also humanizes, you know, yeah, your relationship. You know, when you want to be authentic, they want to know the proverbial, yeah, one pant leg at a time.
That's
it. So yeah, I guess for an upcoming Fronte Friday, you might, you know, put your pants
That's
on.
That's it. I'll just do that.
And it's
just
one leg at a time, episode, and yeah, you can show everyone, look, I do that this, yeah, way. Well, why don't we hear something else? Because, cool, you know, you got me going so much. my heart's racing. Nice. Now I got to calm down and prepare another thoughtful question.
Well, let's do.
But you'll probably now get me more excited, and I'll blow that idea.
Well, this is a song I wrote for Sara, who's here in the studio with us.
Boy, is love coming through his songs recently.
My better half here, and it's a song that I wrote on Valentine's Day, or the day after Valentine's Day last year. We had this incredible day on Valentine's Day, and then the next day was kind of a little bit rocky, you know, as relationships do, you go through your ups and downs. But we got through it, and at the end of the day, I was like, you know, even when we have rocky days, my life is still so much better with you in it than it was ever before you weren't in it. And so this is the idea of the song. And I want to dedicate it to everybody out there who's continues to fight for equality in this country, for everybody to be able to love and marry whoever they choose to love.
God bless.
Every day's not Valentine's, but you make it feel like most of the time. When I'm all alone with you, picking up pieces of my life, sometimes there's ones I just can't find, but they found home with you. Whoa, I'm not afraid to be alone, but being alone is better with you. Life is better with you. Whoa, whoa, life is better with you. Whoa, whoa, life is better with you. When I think about the things that we've been through, I know just one thing is true. Life is better with you. Some days are better than other days, but these days, life is better with you. Some days are better than other days, but these days, life is better with you. Life is better. Tell me what you wanna, give you all that you need, with my heart and my hand saying please, baby, please, because nobody does that thing you do better than you. And thoughts still swim around in my head of all the words we ever said. My favorites remain, I love you. Whoa, I'm not afraid to be alone, but being alone is better with you. Life is better with you. Whoa, whoa. Life is better with you. Whoa, whoa. Life is better with you. And when I think about the things that we've been through, I know just one thing is true. Life is better. Every day's not Valentine's, but you make me feel it most of the time with you. And all my life I've tried to find the one who makes me feel the way you do. You do. So I say, some days are better than other days, but these days life is better with you. Some days are better than other days, but these days life is better with you. When I think about the things that we've been through, I know just one thing is true. Life is better with you. Whoa, whoa, 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 come on, Jake, right after you saw mine. Woo! Life is better with you.
It's 88.5 KCSN. I made a note to self. Valentine's Day standard, Michael Franti.
I have to make sure
that I have that in for next Valentine's Day. You know, you talked about you know, how that particular song came about the day after Valentine's Day. But Sarah, the question I wanted to know is, typically now, back to when we were talking about how you've decided, you know, that you're going to balance songs of universality and love and feeling and the personal life mm-hmm. with the broader scope. What's the process for you now? Do songs just start to take place and then they come out, or do you have a more conscious approach to, all right, I'm going to write a song?
Not really. You know, sometimes I feel like, you know, I'd like to write a song about something, and so I keep that stored in my memory banks, or I take notes on my phone or whatever and keep journals. I have little still used notepads and stuff. And then we get in the studio and I forget all about that stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, that's a cool guitar riff. Let's just do something with that. Or I come up with a melody that I hum and I just start doing it. But there are times when I feel like, you know, I want to create that stuff that goes on that creates the balance on a record. So I'm always thinking like, I want daytime music. I want nighttime music. I want that political grit. And then I want the micro experience of, you know, relationships and what's happening between people and love, you know.
Well, and this is curious for me, because not to say that you haven't always been writing these expressive songs of joy, you have, but you yourself know that in the last few years you've started these celebratory joyous songs have taken on a magnitude and started to become such quote unquote hits that here you are doing interviews with Rick Dees. There had to be a point when
it's kind of strange.
For you, you know, it has to be like, on one hand, it's great. You feel that your music is obviously being more broadly accepted.
Yeah.
But it's going places I doubt you thought you were going to go.
It's not where I ever thought I'd be, you know, and I didn't even know if I'd be making music this long, because I really didn't consider myself a musician. Even when I first started, when I put out my first record in 1987 with the Beatniks, I was just like, let's get in the van and let's go have fun. Let's tour from town to town. We'll ask people at the end of the night if they got a place to sleep, and we'll go crash there, you know. And it wasn't until, even when we were in Disposable Heroes of Hypocrisy, we were invited to open up for U2. And we were still just touring around in a little van. And, you know, we'd check into the little hotel, a little Motel 6 or whatever on the way, and they'd go, what are you guys doing in town? Were you guys playing at the pizza parlor or something? Like, no, we're playing at Yankee Stadium, you know, and opening for U2. And it still didn't really set in. We were just having fun, you know. And the first 2 weeks we were on that tour with U2, you know, we knew their music, we knew their hits on the radio and stuff like that, but I wasn't really like a huge fan knowing everything about the band, you know. And so after the first couple weeks, Bono comes up and he goes, Michael, can I have a quiet word with you? And I was like, sure, is everything okay? And he's like, you know, everything's going great. We really love your band, great show, but there's just this one thing. And I was like, I was really nervous, you know. And he goes, you know my guitar player? And I said, yeah. And he goes, his name is The Edge, not Ed. the whole first 2 weeks I've been going like, yo, Ed, I like that hat. Yo, Ed, nice guitar solo. Yo, Ed, what's up? And it was enough that he came to me and was like, you got to straighten this one out.
Just one thing.
Yeah.
I used to work with him, so I could see how it would take him 2 weeks to finally muster up the courage. Someone's got to go tell him.
So, you know, we've been doing it a long time, and over the years it's just evolved. You know, there comes a point when, you know, I remember like being out in this, I was being out in this field, and it was with Disposable Heroes, and I was playing this like really angry, like revolutionary song. All these kids are pumping their fists in the air, and they're like singing and jumping along to us. And then some other pop band came on right after us, and the same kids were singing along and jumping and pumping their fists. It's like, it didn't matter what was being said so much. It was like the feeling was what was transmitting. But I always figured, like, if you invested words and meaning into your stories that were in your songs, that eventually everybody was going to come to those understandings if they liked the music. But if it was so in your face that it was like that they just people just didn't want to hear it from the start, then you kind of lose out, you know. And people would say to me all the time, like, you know, you have this great message, but how are you going to get it across to more people, you know?
But that's what you have done, and I don't believe it's conscious, but perhaps it was consciously. You've become with these happy songs, like you know, the Sound of Sunshine and everything else. You've infiltrated.
Yeah.
You've infiltrated some people's consciousness, mm-hmm. which allows you to be, I guess, accepted when you do have a more serious message, because you know you've gained their trust.
You get people's trust. You get people's attention, but more importantly, people follow you over a time. So it's like it's not the one song you did that is just the most important thing. It's that they go into the albums, they dig deeper, they see what I write in my blogs, they see the places I travel to and the people that I talk and other ideas that I come in. And maybe it's just a 13-year-old kid who heard it say, hey, I love you on the radio, but then they get involved with all these other things that are happening. And so that's how I do it. You know, we do think, like, as we're approaching to put out a record, we don't think, like, let's try to write hit songs. But we think, like, when you do make a record, what is going to be the most, like, hit song potential? And then you try to market it to make it have the biggest, you know, to reach as many people as possible, you know. And in doing so, you know, you always want to follow through with all the other things that you do that carry, you know, the weight and the message of what you believe in. But even in a song like the one I just played, I'm Alive, it's not like a large letter P politics song, but it's a small letter P politics song. What I mean by it is like the first verse, you know, everybody wants me to be who they want me to be except you. And that's like a song, it's like a statement, like everybody in the world has an expectation of me to be a certain way, but I just want to be me, you know? And I think all of us go through that, and it's like we have those moments in our life where we stand up and we say, you know, this is me. This is the person that I am, and you may not like it. You may not like that.
Take me
for who I am, you know, and that's an important message. And then in like the second verse, it says, you know, I can't afford the rent or remember checks I sent to pay off all my taxes and feed the president. But there's one thing I remember. I only want to be with you. And that's my way of just getting into a pop song on the radio, like that we're all paying into this big system that doesn't care about us, you know.
Right.
It's like, and we're all paying our taxes, and yet we can't afford our rent, you know. And so I try to work things that way where it doesn't have to be like an overt, like in your face.
Yeah, the polemic, statement. You know. Yeah, you bring it down.
That word.
To where? Well, you bring it down to where we all, at the end, can only manage our own universe.
That's it.
And it, you know, when you talk about that, if we do that effectively, we're doing good.
Some
people have broader designs on what they need to do. You're one of those people because you have, you know, by design, you set out to evangelize.
Yeah.
And what's wrong with evangelizing to a bigger church?
Yeah.
It's okay.
The thing is, what I've learned is that the best way to make a difference in the world is not to try to change the world, it's to try to change moments, you know. And it could be the moment of your, you know, your two-year-old getting them dressed and getting ready for school and getting their lunch together and making sure they feel good about themselves and they walk out the door. It could be, you know, the person that you meet on the street that you just happen to smile at and it changed their whole day and it changed their perspective when you're getting your coffee in the morning, you know. Or it could be the way you spend your dollars and supporting companies that are doing good things. And then, you know, every 2 years or 4 years or whatever, we vote and we, you know, we express ourselves in that way too. But, you know, those times when we do those, you know, those political actions, like big letter P politics, are fewer and farther between all the small letter P politic things that we do. And I think that they end up taking a larger importance in our life.
Well, part of that small P politic, as you've expressed, is you know, sharing joy. Would you like to do one more for us? And we'll wrap it up with something with what you got on mind. What's going to take us out on a joyous high note?
Let's do Earth from Outer Space.
Okay.
I haven't done that one a long time. This is a song that I wrote. It's about viewing Earth from outer space. And I saw this interview of this Russian astronaut, and he said that when the spaceship he was in first turned around, he saw Earth for the first time as one organism floating in space. It just took his breath away, and he was like, you know, and he looked at the planet, and he could see this tiny little membrane of just like fuzz around Earth, you know, like a little haze, and it looked like you could just touch it with your finger and you'd penetrate it. He goes, that's Earth's atmosphere, and that's what sustains life, you know, in this big universe. We don't even know if there's really another planet that has life like ours, and yet this tiny little membrane sustains our life. And he said, you know, there's this great reason why all of us should take care of the planet. And I was waiting for some like scientific explanation, you know, and then he said, because Earth, and there was this long pause, and he said, is beautiful. And I was like, yeah, duh. You know, like, we live in a pretty cool place. Why are we going to destroy it? You know, so
I love that blue that you get from outer space. That's a beautiful shade of blue.
Yeah. And it's only been since 1963, I think, that anybody has ever seen, you know, out of all the, you know, 100,000 years of humankind, it's only been in the last, you know, 40 years or whatever that we've actually seen ourselves from space like that. And so this is a song that I wrote about that. And on the record, it features Kanon. But I'll try to sing his part. If I could see Earth from outer space, to all of the stars, to the human race, to all of the people in the streets that I once knew. If I could see Earth from outer space, to all of the stars, to the human race, no matter where I go, I still come back to you, you, you. No matter where I go, I still come back to you. If I could fly, 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 so high, so high, higher than the clouds, even higher than the sky, zoom, zooming in upon the world, rolling by. Would I see people in the cities, in the villages and squares, selling in the marketplaces, dancing everywhere? Would I see ladies in the beauty parlor doing hair, or teenage soldiers with their guns up in the air? Would I see a hit list of the species that are gone? Would I be a witness to the world dropping bombs? Would I see the rainforest, Amazon, Ghana, would the whole world sing one song? If I could see Earth from outer space, through all of the stars, through the human race, through all of the people in the streets that I once knew. If I could see Earth from outer space, through all of the stars, through the human race, no matter where I go, I still come back to you, you, you. No matter where I go, I still come back to you. Let me say, na 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 na, oh yo, na 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 na, hey hey, na 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 na. If I could see Earth from deep in outer space, would I see happiness on everybody's face? Or would I see the wrinkles like roadmap sprinkles of years gone by, and tears that ripple like rivers that are dammed with plastic bottles, and television shows about the next ex-supermodel? I don't know, but I know just one thing for sure. If I saw this, I'd still come back for more. If I could see Earth from outer space, through all of the stars, through the human race, through all of the people in the streets that I once knew. If I could see Earth from outer space, through all of the stars, through the human race, no matter where I go, I still come back to you, you, you. No matter where I go, I still come back to you. I like to see a planet, every boombox booming. I like to see a planet, every flower be blooming. I like to see a planet, solar cars refueling. I like to see a planet, every human staying human. I don't know, but I know just one thing for sure. If I saw this, I'd still come back for more. If I could see Earth from outer space, through all of the stars, through the human race, through all of the people in the streets that I once knew. If I could see Earth from outer space, through all of the stars, through the human race, no matter where I go, I still come back to you. So let me say, na 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 na.
88.5 KCSN. We are hearing music performed by Michael Fronte from the forthcoming album entitled All People, and the tour, which will commence for you shortly and then come back to us October 12th at the Fonda.
Yeah, yeah, we'll be looking forward to that. We haven't played in Southern California in a while, so we'll be excited. And by that time, we'll already have done like, I don't know, 40 or 50 shows.
So you'll be warmed up.
Yeah, we'll be warmed up, so we'll be getting ready.
Well, we'll look forward to reconnecting with you around that time and at that show. But we want to thank you again, Michael J. Definitely. It was a wonderful performance, and we really appreciate you coming by.
Thanks for having us. This guy was really fun. This is what we'd be doing anyway on an afternoon like this. Jay and I would be at home just playing guitar. So
now we included all our audience with it, so more people had fun.
We got the lovely Sorrow with us, too.
How wonderful is that?
Yeah.
You know better than I. It's 88.5 KCSN. Thanks again.
Thank you.